Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. T.O. Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriao's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. T.O. Soriao.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine, live episode 637 on this Christmas Eve episode. I'm not sure that we're going to replay this just because it's such a Christmas Eve specialty episode. So for a best of, this is going to be your only chance to listen to this show. Well, you might be able to listen to it on our podcast. So welcome back, 855-787-1033. 21,000 is the text machine number. That's 21000. Start off with the four letters ESPN. Then you can text us your comments, your Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever politically correct term you want to use for this holiday. Or if you have a sports medicine question. So one of the things that we were talking about a little bit earlier was the value of the videotape. And this is the value of the videotape as it comes to our world, which is sports medicine and sports injuries. One of the first things I did when I was named a head physician for the Mavs back in 92 is I requested that we have a TV monitor put in the training room so that I could look at the videotape and check out the mechanism. Now, it was the network feed, so if the game wasn't televised, I didn't have anything to look at. But if it was, I was able to see it from three or four different angles. And that's very, very important because it tells me what structures are vulnerable to the injury and what might have happened. And it helps me focalize? It helps me localize my exam. I mean, look, you're in a training room. It's less than optimal. And on a football field, you're on a grass, sometimes rainy, sometimes snowy field. Clearly, it's less than optimal. And by the way, a little side note, I wish I would have thought about that medical tent. Genius. Absolute genius, that medical tent.
Yeah.
So Dr. Mayer was talking about it, you know, the injury to the Texans quarterback where he was posturing and how nobody saw that. I say they did see that, except no medical people were seeing that, and therefore they did not know that he was posturing. It is important when we're evaluating an injury to kind of know the mechanism. One of the first things that I asked, whether the trainer or the youngster himself, hey, what happened? Did somebody hit you? Did you not? And often they'll give you an exact story, but sometimes they don't know. He goes, I don't know what happened. I was a pile up. My knee popped. Well, you got to go through the basics there and just examine everything. But if you do have the videotape, especially when we're talking about ankles and that sort of thing, the Carson Wentz situation, which is why I brought this up in the first place, I saw the play live. I didn't know what happened to him. I had no idea what happened to him.
Yeah, that was bang, bang.
It was. It was a pileup. He was lunging. I'm clueless what happened to him. Imagine if you were the doc and you are 30 yards back.
On the other side.
Exactly.
And then he walks back to the play.
And he walks back. Right. It appears that his leg was kind of in the air. He got hit from two different directions. His knee hyperextended, but he was not planted. And as a result, the headline for CBS is Carson Wentz's injury was worse than expected. Well, because when you look at it, it didn't look all that bad. But when you do the MRI, then you discover that, wow, the ACL's hanging by a thread. Then you discover that there was some capsular injury, et cetera, et cetera. And lo and behold, the Eagles, the best record in football, now are without their quarterback for the rest of the season. This is a luxury that you have and sometimes you don't take advantage of. This is a luxury that you don't have a lot of times at the college level, definitely not at the high school level. By the way, speaking of high school, remind me to tell you this, my Wilmer Hutchins story. Congratulations to Highland Park. They won the state championship. A lot of national coverage because of the Jerry Jones connection, Stephen Jones connection, but congratulations there. I want to take this phone call real quick. Let's go to Mitchell. Hey, Mitchell, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call on this gorgeous Christmas Eve.
Good. No fun, but hey, we'll take it.
I'm glad you're listening. What you got?
So I was playing softball a couple of months ago, and I was at third base taking a throw in from the outfield. And the throw was offline, and I reached out to my left, and my knee kind of didn't give way. It didn't pop, but all of a sudden, it felt like my knee was filling up with fluid.
Right or left knee? Which knee is it? Your lunge left.
Lunge left.
Which knee was it?
My left knee.
Okay.
My left knee. So it filled up. It felt like it filled up, and it never got any relief. It felt like, you know, there was a bubble on it. Well, after about 10 minutes, it finally gave way, and it's still, there's like a large swelling part in the lower left part of my knee. The top of my knee, where my knee and my quad meet, is really tight and sore. I have full mobility in it, but it just hurts when I walk or when I squat down. I can bear my entire full weight on it, and I went and had an x-ray on it, and they said that the joint looks in line and it looks stable. Should I get an MRI? I mean, I just don't know, because it's been going on for quite a while now.
Yes, yes, and yes. Yes, yes, and yes. And I'm going to tell you why. Whether you realize it or not, you've given us tremendous amount of information. You've got full weight. You can walk. It feels full. It swelled within a few minutes. Everything you're describing is cartilage. And cartilage does not heal, nor does it show up on x-ray. X-ray just looks at the bones, and in order to see if there's any cartilage damage, whether it's meniscus or the cartilage that covers the end of the bone, in order to see that, you kind of need an MRI. So two things. It does not heal. So it's been 2 months. So now I know something that I would not have known 2 months ago. And it is somewhat irritating when you do certain maneuvers. So your question specifically is, do I need an MRI? The answer is, I would.
Yeah, I mean, if you what the first time you presented to your physician, did you get a diagnosis? Let me just ask you that.
What did they say was wrong?
Yeah, they originally thought it could just be bursitis because of the swelling.
Okay.
Now you don't get an itis. I love this. This is great. The suffix itis is Latin for inflammatory. Appendicitis. Mm-hmm. Pharyngitis, your sore throat, bursitis. So you don't get something inflammatory with an injury. You don't. So anytime you say, I think they said I got tendonitis. No. That's something that develops over time, usually not associated with an acute injury. So the bursitis diagnosis is already off, right off the bat.
Okay.
What I'm assuming.
And I will tell you this, back in 2003, I did have knee surgery on this knee to clean up a meniscus tear from a work injury prior to that. So I have had meniscus work already done on this particular knee.
Look, most people that get an effusion, and that's what I'm assuming you have from the swelling in the knee, if that happened immediately, like within minutes or an hour after the injury, something happened. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, for someone who's, you sound young, healthy, playing a game, and you're telling me your MRI is normal.
No, x-ray.
Your x-ray is normal. I'm sorry. Your x-ray is normal. An MRI is really what you need. I mean, that's the right test to figure out, what is there soft tissue? Is this a tendon issue? Is this a ligament issue? Is this a cartilage issue? Is this a meniscal issue? All these things you can't see. But from your physical exam, you can figure out a lot of this. That's why I was wondering, you know, was your knee exam in the clinic normal? To me, everything you're telling me, if I saw you, I'm sure I'm going to pick something up, and it's not normal. For you just to go home and say, oh, it's bursitis and nothing, and 2 months later this isn't better, is a little bit suspicious.
Okay.
So were you looked at by an orthopedist or your family doc?
Family practitioner.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. And I don't expect them, and this is with all due respect, I don't expect them to be able to figure out the fine points of orthopedics and sports medicine, but they should be able to say, yeah, I think there's something going on or there's nothing going on. So the fact that they got x-rays is a good thing. You're still symptomatic. It's been 2 months. Then it becomes up to you as to whether it is worth taking that next step. And the next step is going to be to see an orthopedist. Dr. Mayer is absolutely correct. An examination by an orthopedist will give us a lot of information. And based on how big a deal this is to you, chances are it's going to be an MRI. And once you get the MRI and you've got the diagnosis, then you and your orthopedist are going to sit down together and decide, all right, what's the next step? Just because we have a diagnosis and we say, yep, you've got a new meniscus tear, does not necessarily mean that we've got to do something about it. You know, there's a lot.
And I don't know how smart it was for me, but I mean, I did keep playing on it for 3 more games. So still,
yeah, we see this.
Yeah.
We see this. Look, this was a great call because it gives us lots of different angles to discuss. But if your knee's still stiff and the top of your knee is still, you know, kind of full, then that means, at least to me, that you're still symptomatic. And if you're still symptomatic after a couple of months, then we got to investigate and figure out why it is. Chances are it's cartilage.
I appreciate your time today, gentlemen. Y'all have a great Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Quick question from the text machine, which it's a good one. They were asking about Aaron Rodgers' plate. Are they ever going to take out the plate and screws? So I'll give you a little – I published a paper on it. It's actually this exact same issue on clavicle fractures. So if you look at the medical literature, 20 to 25% of the normal population that gets a mid-shaft clavicle fracture, similar to what Aaron Rodgers had, will actually want the plate out. They want it out because it irritates them. They have some issue with the plate or whatever. You typically wait 1 year, though, from the time that it was in to taking it out. Reason being is you're going to have a lot of screw holes, which will become stress risers in that area. So you really want to wait a full year before the plate it's done its job, the fracture is completely healed before you take the plate out and to have a bunch of little holes in there. So will they take it out? You don't know. Not everybody needs to have them taken out. So it's not going to be a definitive thing that they have to take it out. In fact, you'd almost wonder, is it better to leave it in as kind of protection
for an NFL quarterback?
So then what's the risk? Well, the risk is if you leave the plate in, and he takes another fall, you usually don't refracture medial or closer to the midline, so closer to his chest, but closer out to the shoulder. So if you put a big piece of metal spanning a bone, where is he going to fracture again? Well, it may become the Tony Romo injury. Yep, it may become the tip of the bone, because now you got a metal plate, and whether they use titanium or stainless steel at the end of the bone, now you're at risk for having that. So that's a question. Well, what's the risk? What's the benefit of leaving a big plate in Aaron Rodgers versus taking it out versus him falling on the tip of his shoulder again? And now you got to do it 1 year from now. 1 year from now is going to put it, what, November of next year? By the time when did he get it plated? October, November?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Operate on him mid-season to take the plate out?
Well, you don't look. No. So hang on.
Symptomatic.
Let me make sure I understand. Okay. You have to wait at least a year, but there's no rule that says you can wait a year and a half or
no, exactly.
Yeah. So you take it out in an optimal time.
Yeah. So if you would take it out, but should you take it out?
No. And for an NFL player, I'm not sure that I would, especially a quarterback. But man, so I was asked a couple of years ago on a national show, what sports injuries do we not have an answer for? We not have a good answer for. And I said clavicle fractures. We don't have a really good answer for clavicle fractures because of just what you're talking about.
I have a good answer for it.
No.
I'm going to tell you, it's a preventative answer.
Do you fix it? Do you not fix it? Okay, if you do fix it and you put a plate on it, do you leave the plate in? Do you take the plate out? If you decide to take the plate out, then how long do you have to wait for those screw holes to fill in before you can sleep comfortably at night? I don't have a good answer for a clavicle fracture.
I'm going to give you my preventative answer.
If you have save it till after the break.
All right, fair.
Great tease. All right, Inside Sports Medicine, 855-787-1033 or 21,000. That's 21000. We still have not finished our discussion on Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, on the text machine, 21,000, start off with the letters ESPN, and those texts will come directly to us. This is the Christmas Eve episode, politically correct Christmas Eve episode on Inside Sports Medicine, coming right back.